Dear congregation, the text words for the sermon this morning you'll find in 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. Let's read them. 1 Samuel 22, verses 1 and 2. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. The theme for the sermon this morning is the cave of Adullam. The cave of Adullam. Three thoughts. First, a short thought, cross-bearing. We see much cross-bearing in David's life, cross-bearing. Second, a refuge, right? That cave of Adullam is a refuge. And third, distressed. Many distressed people flee to David and acknowledge him as their captain. So the theme is Adullam. Three points of attention, cross-bearing. And the main thing there is that cross-bearing is a characteristic of the life of a Christian. Second point, refuge. There is refuge for David in the cave of Adullam. There is refuge for us with Christ, the dwelling place. And third, distressed. There is a refuge. There is a dwelling place for everyone. Hear the space in it. For all, everyone that is heavy laden and distressed. Well, first, cross-bearing. David traveled a long road before the Lord fulfilled the promise. The promise that he would become king of Israel. It was a long road he traveled. And it was a road of loneliness. It was a road of letting go so many things in his life. Actually, everything. In order to find the Lord. It was a road of wandering, not being at home, in order to find an everlasting dwelling place with God. It was a road of getting stuck in the injustice of others, the evil of people around him, and the evil of the world, in order to find justice in God. It was a road of running into himself and discovering his own weakness and worse, his own sinfulness. Let's summarize it. It was a road of a cross bearer. This is bearing the cross. But bearing the cross is the way to the crown. Receiving that everlasting, that glorious crown. That crown will only be received by traveling the road as a cross bearer. There is no other way. And David is in this sense a type of every believer, but more important, he is a type of Christ. Christ, indeed, is seated at the right hand of God. He has so much power and strength. He reigns. He is a most glorious God. But remember, here on earth, he was the suffering servant. He was a crossbearer. And David is a type of him. Before David became a king, he was a crossbearer, indeed a suffering servant. And all who follow the Lord Jesus Christ will bear their cross. Maybe you say, well, my cross is not that bad. I have a pretty good life. Well, I don't mean that cross. Well, indeed, there are many crosses in our life. Maybe in serious sickness, maybe a mental disorder, maybe financial problems, whatever it is. There are many crosses. But the cross we are speaking about this morning is another cross. It is the cross of self-denial. And every Christian, whatever other cross you carry in your life, will carry this cross of self-denial. Luke 9. If any man will come after me, you are invited to come after Jesus Christ. But here, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily in all life circumstances and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life, deny himself, for my sake, acknowledge that he is a sinner and weaken himself, right? The same shall save his life. Remarkable, isn't it? And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper stands in this light. The table invites cross-bearers. Because a characteristic of every Christian, true Christian, is being a cross-bearer. Cross-bearers are invited. You show to everybody around you and to God by leaving your pew, standing up, walking through the table, and take your seat there. You show that you deny yourself, that you can't without the Lord. You show that you are hungry and thirsty for the Lord, that you can find life in yourself, that you can find holiness and righteousness in yourself, and therefore that you need the Lord. By standing up, walking to the table, and taking your seat there, you show that indeed you are a cross-bearer. A cross-bearer. Well, let's continue to read 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 22, verse 1, we read there, David therefore departed thence. And this indeed characterizes his life thus far. In those few words, David therefore departed thence. These few words summarize his life and his path of life. In these few words, his path is typified. He fled from King Saul in the night because King Saul wanted to kill him. He fled to Naoth in Ramah, but Saul came down to Naoth in Ramah. He fled to Jonathan. And Jonathan found out the evil of his father, shot his arrow and cried, "Is not the arrow beyond thee?" And these words were spoken to his servant, but actually to David. "Is not the arrow beyond thee? Make speed, haste, Stay not. In other words, Jonathan told David, make haste. Flee. And we read in 1 Samuel 20, verse 42, and he rose and departed. He fled to Nob, to Gath. He wasn't safe there. David had no safe dwelling place. No place to lay down his head safely. No place to find rest. You see, the road to the crown is the road of cross-bearing. It is a reason to be thankful and full of gladness, bearing that cross. But the road was hard for David, as it is for us. David was constantly on the move, often in solitude. He left behind everything he had and loved, including his wife. He was constantly being sought, being wronged greatly, and worse of all, because of all these afflictions and misery, he fell in sin. He fell in sin. The story in 1 Samuel 21, they expose to us that David, although he was the man after God's heart, was weak in himself and sinful. It is remarkable. I just would like to ask your attention for a few words that we read at the end of chapter 20 and the beginning of chapter 22. And these few words, the same words, actually, we find at the end of chapter 20 and the beginning of chapter 22. And these same words are like a parenthesis around chapter 21. And that's for a reason. That's for a reason. We read in 1 Samuel 20, verse 42, the end of the verse, and he rose and departed. And then again, after chapter 21, the first words of chapter 22, David therefore departed thence. You see these words, David departed. They are a parenthesis around chapter 21. Why? To make clear that David took a wrong turn. And it is as if the Lord ignores that wrong turn and forgives him that wrong turn and begins again. He departed. He fell in sin. He departed again and escaped in the cave of Adullam. A new beginning with the Lord. There is forgiveness with him. Ah, David is a human being. Like us, we are all weak. We all fall in sin. But there is always forgiveness with the Lord. We can always stand up and depart again and continue our path of life with the Lord after Jesus Christ. Let's move on to the second thought. Refuge. So we heard that David was a cross-bearer. Every Christian is a cross-bearer. That Christ is the great cross-bearer. But that there is always a new beginning with the Lord for a cross-bearer. Well, refuge, the second point. The Lord does not let go what he has begun. He always completes his work. He always fulfills his promises. He does not let David perish. And despite his sins, the Lord let him escape and brings him into a safe dwelling place. So we read in verse 1, chapter 22. David therefore departed thence. So we pick up from chapter 20. We forget for a while, chapter 22, to then to run. We continue to read in 22, and escaped. He finds a place of rest. He is able to escape the hands of his enemies, the eyes of the spies. He is able to escape even his loneliness. He is able to escape his sin and the lust in his heart. He is able to escape the temptations around him, everything that burdens him and weighs him down. He is able to escape there in the cave of Adullam. And he finds God again in such rich and abundant measure. Oh, the Lord never let anyone go who flees to him. And therefore we have the Lord's Supper here administered every 3 months. As a sign and a token of the Lord's faithfulness. There is space with me for everyone that departs, that takes up his cross. And you know, there at the Lord's Supper, you find a place where you can escape your daily life with all these temptations and the lusts in your heart. You find there a safe dwelling place. No, it is not a place where faith is born. It is a place for people that exercise faith, but that faith is often weak and small. And these people with weak and small faith, they fall into sin. But the Lord is so faithful. And regularly, he invites such weak people, such sinners at the table, to escape their burdens, their worries, their sorrows. To escape and to find a safe dwelling place. How? Do they find that safe place at the table? How do they escape all these worries and sorrows and misery? How? Well, the Lord tells us about the Lord's Supper. Do this in my remembrance. In other words, we escape from the lusts in our heart, the temptations around us, the sin that weighs us down, the misery in life. We escape how? By remembering the Lord Jesus Christ, his work, by remembering God's word. By remembering God's word. That's how we escape and find that safe dwelling place. So we continue to read. Verse 1. David therefore departed thence, escaped to the cave Adullam. What is the cave of Adullam? Well, it is a collection of subterranean space southwest of Jerusalem. No, it's not a small cavern. Of course not. We read that 400 people, plus David's family, flees to him and finds an escape and a dwelling place in Adullam. No, it is a collection of subterranean space, able to host over 400 men. All these subterranean caves are probably connected by corridors. And let's not forget, you don't read it here, but we know it because of archaeological work, that Adullam is in a strategically good place. So already very early on, early in the Old Testament, we read about the city of Adullam. Near to these gates, connected with corridors, the huge safe place there, people build a city, a fortress, the city of Adullam. Well, that city was desolated in David's time. There were only some ruins. And but the only thing that we could find there were these caves. Adullam, by the way, is located on a hilltop about 350, 400 feet above sea level. And the location, you don't read it here, you have to do some work of digging, but the location is remarkable. Why? It is exactly, Adullam is exactly located on the border of Israeli territory and Philistine territory. King Saul's territory lies to the east. The Philistine territory lies to the west. In other words, the Lord provides a safe place in between two hostile territories, exactly on that border, a safe place on a hilltop, an abandoned city with a fortress in these caves below these fortresses. David finds a safe place. You know, it's the God of Israel who brings David into a shelter and a safe place in his flight from his enemies. Despite his sins, here he can catch his breath. And here he will find the Lord in abundance. We know and we remember from last week that David wrote Psalms 34 and 56 in Gath. Without any doubt, he sang the Psalms again there in the Gath. Psalm 34 or Psalm 56. But he also wrote first another Psalm, namely Psalm 142. It is the first thing he did. Before his family moved in, before these 400 people moved in, there in the loneliness of that cave, in the darkness of a cave, he penned, he versed, he sang Psalm 142. And only after singing Psalm 142, his family moved in, and all these people moved in. Remarkable. He left Gath with the words of Psalm 34 and 56 on his lips. But immediately after entering the dark cave, in his loneliness, he wrote Psalm 142. Why? Why? We hear in Psalm 56 and 34 the high tone of deliverance. David praises God in Psalm 34 and 56 for his deliverance from his enemies in Gath. He's such a high tone. But here in the darkness of that cave, alone in a cave, he is overwhelmed again. You know, that's life. One moment we are strong in the Lord. Consider David. He slaughtered, he overcame Goliath, that living tank. The next moment he is so weak and he falls into sin, just like us. The next moment, he praises the Lord for undeserved deliverance. Psalm 34 and Psalm 56. The very next moment, in the darkness of that cave, alone, he is overwhelmed again by emotions. And he takes up his pen and writes Psalm 142. I would like to go over Psalm 142 shortly, just to read the psalm. And a few words about that psalm. And imagine the context. David fled from Gath, where he fell into sin, right? Delivered by the Lord undeservedly. He wrote Psalm 56 and 34. Psalms of praise for the undeserved deliverance. And there he is alone. Surrounded by enemies. The only safe place for him is the cave of Adullam. That's it. The only safe place, totally alone. No home, no wife, no father and mother, no siblings, no friends, alone. And then we read Psalm 142. And we read there, It's my own translation, forgive me. It's a little bit different from King James. With my voice I cry to the Lord. With my voice I make appeal for grace to the Lord. You know, sometimes we begin our singing with Lord and we lift him up. But we are not always on these hilltops. We are not always on the summit of a mountain lifting up the Lord. Sometimes we are in darkness. With my voice, that's how he begins. I cry. And again, with my voice, I make appeal for grace. Actually, that's what it says in Hebrew. He makes appeal for grace. In other words, implicitly, he confesses in the darkness of that cave his sin. Isn't that how we go to the table? With my voice, I cry to the Lord. I take up my cross and I flee to that table, that safe dwelling place, the cave of Adullam. With my voice, I make appeal for grace to the Lord. That's the reason we flee to the table. Oh, David, overcome by strong emotions, he begins to address and to speak to the Lord. My voice here. Verse 2. I will pour out my complaint before him. My trouble I will declare him. I will not hide anything. That's how we prepare ourselves in a week of preparation. How we go to the table. I will pour out my complaint before him. My trouble I will declare before him. Lord, thou knowest my way. Lord, you know my path through life. Lord, you know how I fell for the lusts in my heart and the temptations around me. Lord, you know my daily life. Just open your heart the coming week of preparation. And don't hide anything for the Lord. Lift up your voice. David empties his heart and he prays aloud. Pray aloud. Don't be ashamed. You know why? The pressure here in his heart was too great. He must let it go, that pressure. And he opens up for whom? For the Lord. Verse 3. When my spirit enshrouds itself upon me. It's a little bit different translation. When my spirit enshrouds itself upon me. In other words, it's what it literally says in Hebrew. In other words, when my inner feelings suppress me, surround me, full of anxiety, overwhelmed. And we continue to read. Yet, thou knowest my path. Thou knowest of Nob. Thou knowest of Gath. Thou knowest of my enemies. Thou knowest of my weakness. Thou knowest my path. In the way wherein I walked. He lays open his life. Thou knowest the way I walked. Have they privily laid a snare for me? Oh, that threefold enemy lays so many snares. And we are so weak. And the last period, last 3 months, without any doubt, we fell into sin for the lust in our heart, the temptations around us, for Satan, for the world. All these snares. So David, let's do the same thing. Pours out his lonely heart. Because he knows God's word. He knows the certainty of God's word and promises. He knows that the Lord is, I am who I am. Therefore he pours out his heart before the Lord. I am who I am. I am here, David. It's the only refuge for David. I am here. We continue to read verse 4 and 5. I look on my right hand. You can translate it in present time. It doesn't have to be a pastime. I look on my right hand and see. There is no man who recognizes me. Refuge fails me. No man cares for my soul. Therefore I cry unto thee, O Lord, Yahweh, I am who I am. I say, thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. By pouring out his heart before the Lord became his all. His refuge, his dwelling place. You see, in the end, not the cave of Adullam was a dwelling place. The Lord himself became David's dwelling place. That's the secret of the cave of Adullam. To escape from everything in your life that suppresses you, that worries you, and to find that refuge in the Lord. That's the cave of Adullam experience. And then we read the last two verses. Attend unto my cry. I have been brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. David acknowledges, although I overcame Goliath, I'm so weak. They, these lusts in my heart, the temptations around me, the world, they are stronger than I. And therefore, remember, he was in the darkness of that cave alone. And he says, bring my soul out of prison. That gate feels like a prison. But he prays, bring my soul out of prison. That my soul may see the light. And thou art my light. And then he ends, that I may praise thy name. And then, oh, he is sure, the righteous shall surround me. He's alone. But he's sure, because of the promises of the Lord, the righteous shall surround me, for thou shalt deal good with me. How does David know that? Because the Lord promised him so. You see, the life of a Christian is holding on to God's promises. Oh, may we prepare ourselves in such a way as David here behaves himself in that cave of Adullam. Well, before we move to the last thought, let us sing a psalter. Let us sing again Psalm 142, Psalter 388, not 387, but 388, and we'll sing the last three stanzas. Psalter 388, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Christ, our refuge and portion, is written above that psalter. Beautiful words. a last point of attention, distressed. Do we see how the Lord truly and indeed is an overflowing fountain of all good? Belchy Confession, Article 1. The Lord undeservedly gives the cave of Adullam to David. Undeservedly, he gives us a cave of Adullam. Here, the table. Set at regular times to escape the sin, circumstances, life. And to find not only that cave as a dwelling place, but the Lord and his word as our dwelling place. That's the secret of the Lord's Supper. To find the Lord himself, do it in my remembrance, and his word as our dwelling place. Oh, the Lord is a God of overflowing goodness. When he blesses abundantly. You know, we heard David sing, right? Psalm 142. He's there alone. Remember, alone. In the darkness of that cave. Overwhelmed by emotions. He lays open his heart. He pours out all that is in his soul. And then we read at the end of the psalm, right? Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. And then he ends with these remarkable words. The righteous shall surround me, for thou shalt deal good with me. We still hear the words of this psalm and the tones of the harp. And then a knock on the door, the gate of the cave. Who are it? His father, his mother, his siblings. He prayed. He knew it. He held on to the Lord's promise. The righteous shall surround me. Thou shalt deal good with me. And then that knock on the gate. And remember what we read about David's brothers. Do you remember their words when he overcame Goliath? Do you remember how one of his brothers said, why camest thou thither, full of enmity and hostility? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride, thy naughtiness of thine heart. For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And here that same brother, together with the other siblings and parents, they flee to David. And they come in that cave to find an escape from the evil hands of King Saul. They flee to David, the future king of Israel. Is that how we go to the Lord's Supper? We flee to the King of Israel, Christ. Oh, what a joy it must have been for David. No longer in solitude. He is back with his family. But it doesn't stop there. Remember how we sang, right? Psalm 142 again. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about. Thou shalt deal bountifully with me, good with me. And then we read in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2. And everyone that was in distress, everyone that was in debt, everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. All. Not only the mighty and the rich. All were welcome. But where are the mighty? Where are the rich? Where are the noblemen? Nowhere to found. They don't flee to Adullam. They feel at home. In the Philistine territory, in the Israeli territory, they feel at home with the evil of King Saul. No reason to flee. They feel at home in the world. They are at rest, at peace in the world. But who comes to David? Those who are in distress, that are in debt, that are discontented. In other words, that suffer because of the evil of King Saul. That don't have their home in the world around them. And it says three times, everyone, everyone, everyone. Or you could translate, all. 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 That's the table of the Lord. Everyone is welcome. All are welcome with the Lord. He died indeed for the sin of the world. All are welcome. The invitation of the gospel goes out Sunday by Sunday. But why are there only 400 that come? Because again, most feel at home in the world around them. Those come who are distressed in debt and discontented. And they stand up from their pews who are in debt, discontented, needy, poor. They stand up. And they flee to the great David here, who invites, come to me and find rest for your weary soul. Know that being poor and needy is not a condition. Don't make it a condition. Because when you make it a condition, you keep searching in yourself. When are you poor enough, needy enough? When do you know your sins well enough? Well, I can tell you never, because it takes a lifelong. Never, it's never enough. It's not a condition, it is a characteristic. Because the rich will not stand up from their seed. They that are at peace will not stand up there. But they that are characterized as poor and needy, it's not about a measure. It's not a condition, but they that feel poor and needy, that can without the Lord, they are welcome there. They stand up, right? It's the characteristic. Yeah. Distressed. Everyone that was distressed at the creditor and whose soul was grieved. You know, we read about a parable of the royal wedding. Many were invited. They didn't come. The first invitees didn't come. Who did came in the end to the royal wedding? The poor. They were invited to a royal wedding. The wedding of the King of Kings. Here's the King of Kings, and he sets the table among us, and he invites, indeed, for poor and needy. Well, the Lord Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, again, the same characteristics. Blessed are the poor in spirit. They that take up their cross and are a cross bearer. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for righteousness, because they shall be filled. What does Mary say in her hymn? The Lord has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away. Well, they are anyway blind for him, and deaf to his voice. The rich, they will hear on that great day of judgment, thou hast not wanted. The world was enough for you. Now you will perish with the world. You didn't hear my invitation. Wasn't it attractive for you? The poor, they will stand on the day of judgment and acknowledge, thou hast loved me first. It is grace alone, sola gratia. Well, may the Lord give us such a blessed week of preparation, where we lift up our voice, do not hide anything that is in our soul and the misery in our life, but lift all these things up to the Lord. And when we hear his voice next week, the voice of that King, come all ye are heavy, ye that are heavy laden, that we truly hear that voice and come to that table to be filled with Jesus Christ himself. May the Lord bless us the coming week of preparation. Amen. Let's seek the Lord in prayer. Lord, we thank thee for that wonderful story or event of the cave of Adullam. All that thou art a God of goodness, overflowing goodness, a fountain of all goodness. Thou showed it so clearly to us in these events surrounding there that cave of Adullam. Lord, we open our hearts before thee. We confess our shortcomings, but we plead on thy word, on thy promises, on the finished work of thy Son, Jesus the Christ, our Messiah. Oh, Lord, we are looking forward to the administration of the table. Lord, be with us the remaining part of this day and next week. Hear our prayer and receive our thanks for thy word and thy goodness. All this in the name of thy Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen. We'll sing Psalter 151, 151, 151. That's Psalm 56 again. And we'll sing stanzas 5 and 6. The last two stanzas of Psalter 151. Lift up your hearts to God and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.